The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
If we want to become the official endorsers of the nasal spray with xylitol,
X-Clear,
Clear, whatever you want to call it. I do think that saved my ass.
Oh, it has saved me. I mean, I've been spraying it in my nose since I haven't been feeling well. Hi, guys. Welcome to Sidework Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Wallace, and I don't feel good.
She's being such a trooper. And I'm Brooke Van Poppel, and I just got over not feeling good yet again for the third time in 2024.
I'll be fine. I'm just kind of like, you know, hitting the immune system. We have friends who have lovely children that I hung out with, and both of them were snotty. And then at some point during the day, like, it was like mentioned that they both had little colds. And then 2 days later, I didn't feel good. And then here we are, you know? But that's okay. Kids are just like, they get you sick. They get everybody sick. That's just how the world works. I ain't mad at it. I just have a job to do. And, you know, I'm trying to push through.
I'll go ahead and say that I'm mad at it. I think it's completely fair as a parent to be like, oh yeah, they're both, you know, sick again.
Uh-huh.
Because as parents, you just become so blasé to be permasick.
Right.
Our friend is nonstop sick with her toddler. Uh-huh. It does matter, and I hate to be like, ooh, get the dirty little scoundrel away from me, or you feel like a jerk putting a mask on.
I know. It is funny
to play with a kid.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? Here we are. I'm not going to get mad at it. But, I mean, and look, these guys don't listen to our podcast anymore. Our friends don't listen to our podcast anyway.
So they sure don't. They sure don't.
So we can talk shit if we want
to. No, but I was saying that the X-Clear nasal spray, which you can like pop into Walgreens or a CVS or a Rite Aid or whatever, just make sure it says that it has xylitol in it. It's supposed to give you 4 hours of viral protection in the old nose.
65% ward you up by 65% for all viruses. It also has grapefruit seed extract in it, and that shit will kill anything. And that's what burns, baby.
Yeah. I loved it. You know, when you think of like a nasal spray and like Flonase is very disappointing, X-Clear blasts it like a goddamn police fire, you know, like a fire hose right up the old nostril.
I use the Max version, actually.
Anyways, it's a workaround, and it kept me safe around a bunch of little snot-nosed babies that were 100% screaming and cackling and telling jokes in my face and, you know, spitting in my mouth.
Sure. I mean, look, I've been using it. I just didn't use it on Saturday. So,
right. I didn't use it when I had to do an audition for Sonic, fast food chain restaurant, with the one guy in the whole audition room who was sick and said, my kids are sick. That's why I'm wearing a mask, but I'm not sick. Then took a mask off and we auditioned.
Biggest lie of all time.
Oh, I know. And then we had, you know, because you can't audition with a mask on. So I was in a room playing husband and wife with him for 15 minutes. And guess who was sick 2 days later also? Oh, didn't use the X-Clear that day.
Yeah, that's always how it fucking goes. Anyway,
kids,
we already did introduce ourselves and our names in the podcast.
We did.
Yes.
Good recall. So. Good recall, Andrea. And yes, this is kind of like every few months we have a bit of our hypochondria germ corner and we're done. Okay, great. We went there. We did it. It's just like everyone. someone's sick.
Oh, I had a client the other day who said because everybody's been so sick with like this like respiratory system that like they're now calling it the 100-day cough.
Oh, God, that's what they're called.
That's what people who are, the people who are getting like lung stuff that's going from bronchitis to pneumonia. No. Like we have friends that have been hospitalized because of it. And like they're calling it the 100-day cough. Isn't that exciting?
Well, get at us, restaurant workers, because we know you're no stranger to catching everyone's dirties also. Anyways, let us know how it's doing out there.
Yeah, everybody's. Let's see how you guys are. Let's jump into some headlines, though. Let's get cracking, shall we? Let's get moving. This headline is so good. This is from Delish.com. Hotel guest discovers fancy room service meal is actually frozen Trader Joe's pasta.
God, holy shit. This headline gave me so much joy, especially after doing our room service episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so this was, I believe, a viral TikTok. Elle McLemore, who is a 32-year-old actress, she took to TikTok after ordering fancy room service at a hotel she was staying at with her partner, a pasta, a delicious cacio e pepe. And she was like, oh, this tasted familiar, but it wasn't until her husband made a bombshell discovery. He basically went into the kitchen, the shared kitchen, searching for some breakfast food and happened to stumble up upon this communal refrigerator. And it was stocked with Trader Joe's cacio e pepe and other frozen meals. And at that point, it was like, oh, my God, this is so obvious that we ordered this. Like, how much did they actually pay for it? $32, I think. For this cacio e pepe? Oh,
it was 20.
20. It was 20. 20, 20 bucks. 20 bucks. Something that costs less than $5 at Trader Joe's is what they found. Not just that, a bunch of frozen brioche bread, breakfast items. I mean, I get that there's like frozen pastry you pop into like a toaster oven in the morning. That I totally can understand at a hotel.
But Andrea, you're missing the point that like the menu says like fresh, chef driven, made by our in-house.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, just Trader. We chef Trader Joe is our chef today at the hotel. But yeah, this is absolutely ridiculous and hilarious. And I kind of wonder how much of this is actually happening around the country. Tons of it.
Look, I mean, it's like if you okay, as a hotel chain, you're like, all right, we know that Trader Joe's food is yummy. And she said that the presentation was beautiful, right? And she was like, it was actually pretty good. She's like, you know, I didn't feel like I was in Rome or something like that.
But it's like it's for hotel standards and you're hungry, you just want to eat, you know.
Yeah. It's just like, just don't lead with like our seasonally driven menu prepared by, you know, local, you know, decorated chef.
Marketed to, crafted to nourish the body and soul, actually, is what it said.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, Trader Joe's food sometimes nourishes the body and the soul with their little snacky yum-yums. I mean,
I had a Spanish tortilla today that I cooked up for both of us that, like, it does say, I will say, it does say microwave for 16 minutes as one option of cooking it. But I cooked it in a saute pan, and it was phenomenal. I mean, if someone had served that to me at a hotel – and I paid like $15 for it, I would have been like, this is gourmand. Like,
I mean, there's so much to be said about just also eating anything that you don't have to make yourself. That's very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My brain just is suddenly a lot more forgiving just because it's so fun to eat something that, you know, and room service always feels fancy. It has to be like we talked about, like a super duper wilted sandwich and soggy fries for me to be like,
totally. Absolutely. I mean, I mean, Trader Joe's knows what they're doing. Sometimes I'd rather have it. I mean, I feel like that's when you're on an airplane and they're like, our chef driven menu. And it's obviously just, it's just microwave food. You know what I mean? It's kind of same feels. All right. Next headline. This is from The Takeout. Brooke, just so you know, listeners, so you are aware out there, we're being watched all the time. As we know, our phones have cameras. People are monitoring our shopping. You know, people are selling our information. I figured the one goddamn place where we were free, where we just didn't have to worry about people tracking us, cameras looking at us, is when I just need a little bit of a snackaroo, maybe a little bit of a pick-me-up, maybe my blood sugar is low, and a vending machine. But it turns out, all right, that vending machines are now tracking your every move with facial recognition.
I mean, let's be fair. If these are digital touchscreen vending machines, not the old school ones, unless they have tiny spy cameras.
And like the little like, yeah.
Like Cold War era spy cameras inside of Snickers, but you know.
Yeah, so students at University of Waterloo in Canada recently noticed that an M&M's vending machine on campus was displaying an unusual dialogue box on the order screen. It stated that there was an application error for a file, and then that file was basically like for a facial recognition app. And so that they were basically like, I think that we have a class action lawsuit on our hands. And it turns
why
are they tracking this? I think it's just like all businesses now are like, I think there are companies that are like, hey, corporations, why don't we help you out with your sales? We can spy on your customers and videotape what it is they like to eat and not to eat. And then you know what to sell them. But I'm just like, in a vending machine world.
Well, right, because the options are so limited.
Right, it's like, what are you going to... Well, according to the data, okay, and we get up at University of Waterloo in Canada, we're going to need to stock more peanut M&Ms, you guys. That's what they want. We're out of those first. Like, can't you just, like, see when they go to restock the vending machine, like, the human being that does it is like, oh, these go first, maybe we should stock more, like
maybe we should talk to Hector or whatever about this. And because I'm like, I could just tell you that of course the peanut M&Ms go first. I don't even have to be working or manning that vending machine to let you know that those are gonna go. And like, and again, because if a vending machine, you're like, listen, I don't have a lot of options. What I need is something I can get for $1.25 to just like get me through this next hour. And you're not making a choice going, saying to yourself, my favorite food that I eat every day.
Yeah,
Snickers.
For sure.
Which if you eat Snickers every day, all good.
God bless. If you're in college, you probably did at some point. Brooke, eat a candy bar every single day of your life if you think about it.
I probably chips and or... Well, I'll tell you a story about college in a minute too, if you want to hear it. But anyways, I for sure ate junk food. And what I liked... No, this is more so in high school. Nutty Buddies. The wafery, peanut buttery.
No, I get those.
Chocolatey.
I'd pull them apart piece by piece. Layer by layer and make it last. Nom, 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 nom.
Yeah, very savory, those things.
If I had one now, I'd be like, ugh.
Oh, it's disgusting.
I just feel like they would just the palm oil would coat my throat in a way that I couldn't. Maybe it would hurt my hurdy throat at this point.
This is
the same technology that self checkout kiosks do. So and then all the information goes down and a PowerPoint presentation is formed, and here we are. So just be aware. Maybe start being picky. Maybe start saying the words fagua or start saying the words caviar when you're at the vending machine.
Or say room service. Cacio pepe.
Cacio pepe room service at the vending machine. Tinned fish, please. We'd like some tinned fish in the vending machine. Honestly, it's the protein is probably good for the brains of these students. And it's still a pretty inexpensive snack. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Anyways, everyone, get a life. You don't need to watch us doing every last damn thing we do. It's so creepy.
I would like to eliminate you.
All right. I threw another headline in just because I couldn't not. Here we go, you guys. It's from The Takeout. Subway. What the fuck has Subway been up to? All right. I don't pay attention to Subway as an entity like I used to. Are you?
Okay. Well, yes, because I was looking at just a you know, again, headlines to talk about today, which I did not choose this, but essentially everyone, like the franchises are the ones who suffer versus, you know, the corporate model as a whole does really, really well. But the poor individual franchise shops, like those $5 footlongs,
right,
like those guarantees, those coupons, like it kills the individual store owner. And now they're also pressuring, like if you still have one of those old school looking Subways with your menu up, you know, as the wallpaper behind you on the wall, and God forbid if you still have the old timey newspaper wallpaper in your store, Subway's basically telling you to get your shit together and do a complete store remodel or we're dropping you.
What? No.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do a little segue for 1 second and let you know, as the Del Taco girl that you are, that there is a Del Taco that's in Barstow. I think it's
the original one.
And the menu is the original menu. And I'm like, fuck, we should go. I mean, it's if we're going to Vegas or something, you know, it's like it'd be on the way. But I was like, it looks delicious. Anyway.
And side note to you, when I saw that, immediately showed it to Sean. And I was like, I want to go get a Del Taco tostada because they don't order it at the franchises.
Right, right.
They don't serve it, excuse me. And I want a Del Taco hamburger, goddammit.
Yeah, I want all of these things. I like saw the menu and like the owner, who's the original owner, comes out to like greet you and like pat you on the back and give you grandpa feels. Totally into it. So in. Okay. Going back to what the fuck Subway has been up to. Now, there was a big controversy recently, which we didn't cover, when they were like fresh cutting the meat for like sandwiches for a minute. And customers were going fucking ape shit and screaming at employees and just being like, hurry the fuck up. Because, you know, it's fast, it's fresh, whatever.
What do you think you are, a Quiznos?
So now, leaning real hard into the footlong game, Subway now has a footlong cookie, which I believe did exist prior. They brought it back, the footlong cookie, a footlong pretzel, and a footlong churro.
Yeah.
To go along with your footlong sandwiches. Now, if that is not enough, Brooke, they are releasing and giving away Sidekick, all right? A Sidekick bag capable of storing 3 feet worth of Subway food at one time.
Okay. All right. See, you know, I told you, like, that is the human equivalent of a feed bag. Mm-hmm. You know, we are like livestock at this point. Just attach the feed bag to the face and just nibble all day long on your 3 feet of food.
Yes. Because all we need in this world is a bunch of basically padded poster holders, is essentially what they are.
Right. And I just can't help but think, too, that, like, I mean, this is where my mind goes. I can't help it. It's like, do you want to have a 3 foot long shit the next day?
Because or more like, I know. And then that ain't going to come out in one poop. That's going to be an all day occasion.
that one's residing in your intestines, like on the upper the upper floors for a bit, you know. Anyways.
Oh, yeah. But it's like Auntie Anne's has helped with the pretzel and Cinnabon has helped with the churro. I just can't with it. But I was like, you know, I do think it is. It's fun to kind of like, what the fuck y'all been up to? Like with when it comes to certain fast food, you know, places. Taco Bell is a whole other realm.
That's a whole other thing. But yeah, for me, I'm just like, did Subway not know that the Super Bowl was 3 weekends ago?
I know.
That seems like something you would bust out for.
I think
sporting.
They did, actually.
Did
I think
they?
Might be a little late.
Now they've got some surplus.
What day was the February? What day was
11th?
Yeah, it was before that. That I believe that some of it came out, but actually the bag release. Hold on, I'm just citing it. Oh no, that was the 28th. That was post Super Bowl.
This is giving me that they got inspired by the Heinz emotional support ketchup bottle stunt here.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. No original ideas. Everybody inspires everybody. You know what I mean? So, yeah, there we go. Those are our headlines for the day. Server submitted stories. We have none, which is fine.
Guys, okay.
But you guys know where to spend them if you would like to send them to sideworkpod@gmail.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, so topic of the day. So here we are. It is March. In like a lion, out like a lamb. We're thrown up into Lent season, but it's also, this is a big drinking season with Mardi Gras and St. Patrick's Day heading our way. And I just thought I'd kind of burst everybody's bubble today and give some sad, hard truths on these holidays we've come to love and know, specifically what they're all about. The origins, if you will, of some of
these. It's really funny because March 2 is just always such a ramp up to obviously Easter, which mm-hmm. is like the most holy of a lot of the days for everybody. And you're like, on the days where we have like binge drinking, you're also like in the Muslim world, Ramadan starts where you don't eat between sun up and sundown. Mm-hmm. But Lent is also then about giving something up,
right,
and not eating meat, you know, all during the week and doing your fish fry Fridays.
Right, which that was never even a thing until the fish industry was like, we got to sell this fish.
Hey, guys, I don't know if you've woken up to this lately, but everything you know is a lie.
Yeah, and everybody's just trying to sell you something, baby.
Yeah.
Whether that's fish or democracy. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So let's start with Mardi Gras. All right. So Mardi Gras, as we know, is like a big, very big drinking holiday, at least Fat Tuesday. Fat Tuesday would be the big right. drinking holiday that we're talking about. So Mardi Gras is a tradition that dates back to thousands of years to pagan celebrations of spring fertility, including the raucous Roman festivals of Saturnalia. No, say this with me, Brooke.
Saturnalia?
Yeah.
Saturnalia?
Thank you. Okay. Which is, okay, so this is a festival. Here we go. It's basically was a big festival that kind of had Christmas origins, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's celebrating Saturn specifically. And there was a temple, erected to it. So constructed in the 4th century. This is all coming from history.com. I'm going to say that right now. Thanks, history.com today. The Temple of Saturn Rome served as a ceremonial center for the celebrations of this festival. And on the first day of the festivals, a young pig would often be publicly sacrificed at the temple. All right, so we got that. The cult statue of Saturn in the temple traditionally had woolen bonds tied around its feet. But during the festival, these bonds were loosened to symbolize the god's liberation. That's pretty fun too. So basically, this is like the first Christmas. It was around Christmas time. They would wear rings or wreaths, right, of
okay.
leaves around their head, symbolizing, you know, the okay. rings of Saturn, but also Christmas wreaths. Christmas wreaths, I can say that too.
Let's pause. How did they know that Saturn had rings? Did someone already invent a telescope?
That's actually a good idea. I'm assuming that. I think I'm assuming because the
okay,
rings of Saturn.
Okay, I was just going to say, I'm like.
But they
I'm like,
would do that. They would do that. They would wear the rings. I think they just knew. You know what I mean? But they would also do gift giving, singing, lighting candles, feasting, merrymaking, you know, and so basically a lot of Christmas traditions. So this was kind of the first Christmas. Also the rings of Saturn, wreaths of Saturn. That makes tons of sense to me. You know, like my dad.
I'm here for it.
My dad said this shit to me. I was like, Dad, I was like, Pluto isn't it? Aquarius is in Pluto. Pluto's in Aquarius. And like, it's the age of Aquarius. And the last time this happened, like the French Revolution, and there's going to be an uprising. And I was trying to talk to him a little bit like the age of Aquarius and last time it happened and all the things that happened and like, you know, the changing of the guard and how the world turned. And he just goes, Pluto's not even a planet anymore, Andrea. I was just like, your logic won't get me, old man. Yeah, it was kind of hilarious to me. Anyway, did I mention I'm sick, guys? Okay, let's continue. There was another. So Christianity, when it arrived in Rome, religious leaders decided to incorporate festivals, right, into a new faith as an easier task of abolishing them all together. So basically, like, Christianity took all the fun out of like these festivals, right? That Mardi Gras kind of based off of. And that's specifically like all the drinking, all the partying, all the merriment. And so they're basically like, okay, we'll let you do this like one time, but then we're like as like one big prelude into like the 40 days of Lent. All right. And then after that, it's just fasting and penance. All right. So you can have one fucking day. So that's pretty fun to be, you know, Christianity robbing all the fun out of everything, which is as it slowly took over the world like a virus. Just saying, we're going to once we start talking about St. Patrick, too, I'm just like all these pagan super fun fucking festivals just squashed out by Christianity. It's so silly.
Oh, yeah. Get ready. We were like, it's not even like debunking all your favorite drinking holidays. It's more just being like Catholicism and.
Oh yeah,
and anything, you know, Protestant Catholicism, like, just yeah.
Oh yeah, they're just no like thanks. No fun, guys. No freedom, no free thinking, just do what we say. Okay, Mardi is the word for Tuesday, gras means fat, like foie gras, so Mardi Gras. And in France, the day before Ash Wednesday came to be known as Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday. Traditionally, the days leading up to Lent, merrymakers would binge on all the rich, fatty foods, meat, eggs, milk, lard, and cheese that remained in their homes in anticipation of several weeks of eating only fish and other types of fasting foods. So the word carnival, another common name for the pre-Lenten festivities, also derives from this feasting tradition. So, you know, I think Fat Tuesday is just like... How, like, it's just basically like fat leftover day, you know what I mean? Or, you know,
That's interesting too. They're saying too that, okay, so the word carnival, mm-hmm, in medieval Latin, carnivarium, mm-hmm, means to take away or remove meat, mm-hmm, and the word carnum in Latin is meat. But it's really funny that people, you know, everything is called like a carnival, but in any other situation, it's pretty celebratory and there are no food restrictions, right, on it. But
yeah,
very interesting.
Yeah, Carnival Cruises does not have any food restrictions, as I think we
no. And they have a lot of norovirus if you're in the market.
All right. So the first American Mardi Gras took place on March 3rd, 1699, when French explorers landed near present-day New Orleans. They held a small celebration and dubbed their landing spot Pointe du Mardi Gras. And they're just basically like, we're here to party. In the decades that followed, New Orleans and other French settlements began making the holiday with street parties, masked balls, and lavish dinners. When the Spanish took control of New Orleans, however, they abolished these rowdy rituals and the bans remained enforced in Louisiana until it became a state in 1812. And on Mardi Gras in 1827, a group of students donned colorful costumes and danced the streets in New Orleans. And yeah, basically it came back into life. That's so cool. I love that.
Have you ever been?
To Mardi Gras?
Yeah.
No.
Like the real, no, I've never been to New Orleans during Mardi Gras.
It gives me
spring break feelings.
Yeah, at this point in the game, I'd want to be like invited to either like be on a float or like,
right,
know someone who has a balcony, you know?
Right. Like just being a participant and kind of stuck in the wildness of it. As someone who, you know, if someone's like, show me your tits, I'm the kind of girl who's like, absolutely not. You know, like, because we all have friends who would gladly show tits. They don't care. And I'm not judging that. I'm just saying Mardi Gras has always scared me away, maybe just because of the mass exposure and the pressure to expose boobs. But maybe I'd finally do it. Fuck it. Maybe I'd do it.
Yeah, who man. Knows? Who knows? Who does know? I don't want to show my boobs.
It's not. Yeah, whatever. It's fine.
Unless I like, honestly, I would probably have to make some sort of joke out of it. I'd have to have like a breastplate under my boobs or something under my boobs that like is a picture, like a, you know, like the t-shirts with like the sexy lady in the bathing suit, you know, something like that. I'd have to make a silly thing out of it.
Oh, I think like the fun point would be to like paint your boobs and make them look really fun if you were going to bare them. Like, why not flash? Like, if you're going to flash. each one would have one of a Mardi Gras mask on each tit.
I would just like paint sorry, not sorry across my chest. So this is the origins that have like, you know, grown into the big celebrations that we know today. Beads, tits, king cake, floats, mask wearing, balls. People still really get their fucking groove on when it comes to Mardi Gras in New Orleans. And they also celebrate in Alabama. They also celebrate in Mississippi. The South has really taken hold of Mardi Gras celebrations over into Florida. Something tells me Savannah probably has some sort of celebration. I don't know that for a fact. And obviously around the world, we know that Carnival is celebrated. But the origins, very fun, date far, far back and are French. So I feel that that's pretty debunked. And, you know, I think Fat Tuesday, I mean, while it is like a drinking holiday, and I don't find it to be, it's one of those ones that it's like, it's supposed to be like debaucherous. You know what I mean? Like, it's supposed to be this origin where like everybody fucking go for it and then stop, you know?
Yep. And then so go be good for 40 days.
Totally. So for me, Fat Tuesday, while in the restaurant industry, can be like annoying and dumb, it's never bothered me. I've actually been like, I like this one, you know?
No, it's cool. If a place leans into it in a really fun way, I'm all for it. Serve me some etouffee. Is that how you say it?
Etouffee. Uh-huh.
Etouffee.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So
today's episode is dropping on Friday, March 15th. Mm-hmm. So naturally, we can't help but debunk everyone's least favorite drinking day aside from SantaCon.
Absolutely. We have to debunk St. Patrick's Day, guys. Oh, boy. Here we go. So here's some stuff you didn't know, some stuff you didn't know. So first of all, St. Patrick, oh boy, he wasn't even Irish, guys. I'm just going to say that. he was born in Great Britain to wealthy parents near the end of the fourth century, and he was believed to have died on March 17th. Okay?
Oh, so almost like canonizing him on
And originally, because it was his death day that was observed in Ireland, bars were closed.
Oh, that is the antithesis of old St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, bars were actually closed on St. Patrick's Day, which is they didn't actually open them back up until the 1970s. Pubs were closed on March 17th, which was Irish law. And in 1995, the Irish government began a national campaign to use St. Patrick to drive tourism to the country and display Irish culture to the world. And of course, we know where it went.
Just say 1995? Ireland didn't even sell.
That's when they like leaned hard into it. They were like, let's start pushing this. Well, they wanted more. Ireland was like, they wanted to use St. Patrick in their tourism campaign. That's when they pushed hard into that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, for sure. So, all right. So we know that he is not Irish. Okay. So what happens is at the age of 16, he was taken prisoner by a group of Irish raiders who were attacking his family's estate. And then they transported him to Ireland, where he spent 6 years in captivity, basically herding sheep. And now during that time, he was alone. He was lonely and afraid. And he leaned really hard into Christianity and the devout. And it was about this time that he started hearing a little bit of voices. He started to hear voices.
Uh-huh. I think you mean divine intervention.
Have visions. Yeah, he had heard voices. He basically said, while chasing sheep on hills, you know, he prayed hundreds of times a day in all kinds of weather. And it paid off because one night a mysterious voice called to him saying, look, your ship is ready. And then Patrick knew that he wasn't hearing sheep. It was time for his escape. And escape he did. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Escape.
I didn't
he
know
did.
Any of this.
Neither did I. So he basically made his way to Ireland's east coast and sought passage on a ship bound for Britain. Okay, but here's the problem. The captain, a pagan, did not like the look of him, and demanded that he suck the captain's breasts, which is a ritual gesture symbolizing acceptance of the captain's authority. And
yes,
Patrick was like, I'm gonna suck your titties. And he didn't. But they took him on anyway. And instead he tried to convert the whole crew into Christianity.
Christianity, right.
Mm-hmm. So the captain was like, oh, you're adorable. Come on. We'll take you anyway.
Come on, you scamp.
Yeah. So then he started having visions, as you do when you're a priest, when you're pre-sainting. Yeah, so that basically dream that Satan tested his faith by dropping an enormous rock on him. And so he basically had to push the rock off of him, the Satan rock, to help and help God help him. So
and no one is witnessing this guy trapped under a rock.
No. It's all
imagining.
In his head.
He's got an emotional rock on him.
So
Satan, okay,
he went
it.
To Britain, went to a monastery. And then became a priest, all right? And so then he came back to Ireland on a mission with the number one priority to convert the Druids, the pagans, to Christians.
Oh, and don't forget that he was visited by an angel with a message specifically from the Irish that said, we beg you, holy boy, to come and walk again among... Oh, okay, fuck me. God, that was so bad. I'll just do it regular, Brooke. Okay, we beg you, holy boy, to come and walk again among us. And then this was now him back in Ireland trying to convert everyone to Christianity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when you say that St. Patrick was driving the snakes out of Ireland, the snakes were actually the Druids.
Okay. Uh-huh. No actual snakes.
No actual snakes. The snakes were actually the pagan religion and the Druids that he was driving out by converting everybody to Christianity. And yeah, probably a lot of murders happened. Probably a lot of killing happened. I'm just going to assume that. St. Patrick's color was blue, not green.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the saint was originally depicted wearing blue robes. Not green. Green became popular in the 18th century when discontent with English rule grew and the Irish independence movement started using the shamrock linked to St. Patrick because he used to use the shamrock as a symbol for the Trinity when he was trying to convert people to Christianity. He was like, well, Christianity is a lot like a shamrock. I think that's what he said. What a great metaphor. And here we are today, Brooke, you know? But basically, they use it as a color of unity and resistance. And then St. Patrick, in turn, they started turning depictions of him into wearing green. His real name was not Patrick. All right? It was Meowyn Suckat.
My God, the hits just keep coming. How do you say that again there, Andrea?
Meowyn Suckat. Suckat. But I don't think Suckat is a great last
Suckat.
Name.
Suckat. Yeah.
Like, you're going to get made fun of real. I'm changing my name to Patrick. Patrick. But Suckat, still the last name. So Obviously, it was a religious holiday, which we talked about before. And, you know, St. Patrick's Day parades began here in the States, not in Ireland. All right. Although St. Patrick's Day has been celebrated for over a millennia in Ireland, the famous parade, which have now become the heartbeat of the holiday, began in the 18th century by Irish immigrants. Obviously, the Irish didn't have a real easy time when they landed here. And I think, you know, they really wanted to show their heritage, especially when they were like really landed in Boston. And they were just like, all right, let's have a big Irish celebration to show our roots and connect with them and keep them going. St. Patrick's Day is celebrated in more than 200 countries, which is pretty fun. Yeah. And I think hardest hitting probably is going to be most Western, obviously United States, but like Ireland, Canada, Newfoundland, you know, like all those overseas, like New Zealand, Australia, like, you know, all the more English speaking, like Irish, real Irish immigrant places. Like, yeah, that's where it hits real, real hard. One thing I did find on AmericanMagazine.org, the greatest miracle St. Patrick ever pulled off, is according to this article, and saying for all his failings, you know, wiping out an entire species of animal, snakes, a.k.a. druids, purposely offending the religious customs of others, a.k.a. druids, a.k.a. pagans. There's one truly great thing about St. Patrick. He insisted on a full pour. Once upon a time, at a pub, Patrick ordered a whiskey, but was shocked and offended when the bartender's pour did not fill his glass. He said the man had a devil in his cellar feeding on his dishonesty, so he best get his act together. The man immediately changed his ways. Like Scrooge on Christmas Day, he became the guy who filled everyone's glass to the rim. And today, that story is remembered in the drowning of Shamrock. Each St. Patrick's Day at the end of the night, shamrocks are dunked into the last rounds of drink, ideally whiskey, and a toast is offered to St. Patrick in honor of his preferential option for the full pour.
Whoa. Now, like, I've only been at some terrible sports bar who just likes to turn their beer green.
Sure. It's a whole different feel. Like, I've only had, like, pieces of like glittery shamrocks accidentally like that had been dropped into my drink and then I ate plastic, you know what I mean?
Right.
But
100%
a little debunking goes a long way. Celebrate how you guys choose, you know, if we're not out to offend anybody or we don't want to yunk anybody's yum, you know. But I think these are some fun.
We don't want to shit on anyone's chili, you know?
But I thought this would be a fun way to kind of, you know, lean in.
But it's not even debunking.
Oh, it's not. It's just being nobody like, knew the history. Truth. Like, yeah.
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 Right. I mean, to debunk it would mean that, I mean, but I do think the accepted narrative is the rumors that people believe and otherwise don't realize that Ireland didn't even particularly celebrate it up until only 30 years ago.
No.
And that for us, it's an American Irish drinking debauchery fest.
Absolutely. Which we've covered on this podcast before and we'll probably have to cover it in some way again because
we find new angles every year, you know?
All right.
What are you going to do?
Great episode. Safety out there first, everybody.
All right.
Make those. Oh, yeah. We're hoping those shatterproof pint glasses come in handy for you on the St. Patrick's Day. Hopefully things aren't too wild, you know. But, Brooke, you know what we say at the end of every episode?
We say, don't yuck my yum, and then Godspeed.
Good tips.
That is the saying that helps you get into the I'm Irish and offending my own ancestors, so this is terrible. We'll talk to you next week.